you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have elected you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. The world will never hate you if you start a campaign to stop gambling or liquor. The world will never hate you if you start a campaign to clean up the slums. The world will never hate you if you start a campaign for better race relationships. Good as all of these things are, and as much as it's necessary for us to do everything we can for every good cause, but the only reason that anybody will really hate you is that you say, well, I am born again and saved and going to heaven, and if you remain as you are lost and on your way to hell. Then everything of evil will break forth against you. Now, don't forget, and we'll see this especially tomorrow morning, the reason we have been called out of the world and left to live in the world is in order that we might testify against the world. There are only two reasons why we could be left here. After all, my readiness for heaven doesn't depend on anything that happens to me while I'm here on earth. I was as ready for heaven when I had been saved 1 second as when I shall have been saved 100 years. My readiness for heaven is Jesus Christ. I have no other readiness for heaven. I have been justified by him. And you, most of you, have been justified believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And God has given you the new life, the second life. Individuals taken out of the world have been born of God and given the new life. Well, then, why does he leave us here after we're saved? Why do we have to go through this process of living the Christian life? You're here for two reasons. You're here to fellowship together, to know Christ in the midst of a world that does not know him, and you are left here to testify against the world. Now, you don't do it by putting on a banner or sandwich board and walking down the street and saying, where will you spend eternity? I've seen people like that, but I've never heard of anybody that's ever been saved through looking at a sandwich board. I'm always on the lookout for such things. But I doubt very much if God ever called anybody to do a thing like that. Each individual is responsible for God, but God never called me to that. I'm sort of a believer in great dignity in connection with the things of the Spirit. But very, very definitely, God Almighty has put us here to testify against the world. Now, how do you testify against the world? You do it in 1,000 different ways. By not stealing somebody else's parking place. By being kind. By not being catty. When someone says, did you see Mary so-and-so? No, I don't want to be a cat, but. And then you go on and be a cat. You see, in not doing it is where you testify against the world. Somebody came to me once and told me, Dr. Barnhouse, you ought to know this about Mr. So-and-so, one of the elders of the church. And I said, who are your two witnesses? What do you mean? I said, the Bible says, receive not an accusation against an elder except before two witnesses. Who are your witnesses? Oh, but no. Back out fast, you know. And I said, but don't you realize that to listen to gossip against any minister or any elder or any leader in the Christian faith, God says it's as bad as thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill. And the person that told me this had the temerity to say, but if I did like that, I'd never hear anything. I accept your laughter as the equivalent of amen in a holy roller meeting. It's a public acknowledgement of mass conviction of sin. It is the fact that the buzzard nature of the gossip is in everyone. But it's sin. And this we must understand, that we're in this world to testify against it by the holiness of our lives, by the kindness and upright honesty, the integrity, the lack of self-seeking. These are the things that testify that we are not of the world. Now look on a little farther. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. Now, in addition to the 79 times that the word world is found in the Gospel of John, the word they is found again and again. And you add up these two words, they and the world, and you find that the sum total is way over 100 times in the Gospel of John. That with an absolute sword stroke, the Lord God Almighty divides between those whom he has chosen in Christ and those who have not yet bowed before him to believe in him. Their responsibility is totally their own. Ye will not come unto me that ye might have life. And I'm not going to enter into any theological speculations about the difference between the two phases of this truth, but boldly present the antithesis and point out the fact that it is in the Word of God, but that we are called upon to face this fact that we live in a world that is hostile to God. I want to close with this story. A few years ago, I was preaching in Toronto, and I have a very good friend there, a layman, who is active in Toronto Christian life. And I spoke somewhat along these lines, and he said to me, I have a story that I think you can use. He said, we moved into a house up in North Toronto. It had been unoccupied throughout all the spring and summer. And the garden had gone to seed, and we moved in late one evening, and he said, in the morning, I went into the bathroom to shave, and he said, as I stood in front of the mirror, I caught sight in the mirror of something. We didn't have any curtains up yet, and he said, I caught sight of something red, and I looked outside, and there in the midst of a whole patch of weeds, there was a beautiful red rose. And he said, I thought, I'm going down and get this first fruit of the garden and give it to my wife for breakfast. And he said, I went down and went into the weeds, and they were so high I couldn't find it. So he said, I went back up to the bedroom and to the bathroom and looked out the window, and by triangulation I fixed certain points in my mind and went down and found the rose. Now, he said, here's the illustration. He said, when I found it, I pulled it up out of the weeds and I thought I'll get a long stem, and suddenly I discovered that the stem was running on and on, and 9 feet away in the neighbor's well-cultivated and well-fertilized garden, the root was lying, and the bloom was blooming over in the weeds in my place. That's the Christian life. Rooted in heaven and blooming in the weeds of earth. And this is exactly what we must understand. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, and I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. And may we close in John 17. When the Lord was leaving the world, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And then in verse 9, he said, I pray for them. Now that's you and me. In the next line, I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. So we finish our first Bible study with a summary again that I read once more out of the Greek lexicon, that God and the world are in opposition. The spirit of the world and the spirit that comes from God are opposed. The world is condemned by God, but also the object of the divine plan of salvation. The cosmos stands in opposition to God, and hence is incapable of knowing God, and is excluded from Christ's intercession. Neither Christ nor his own belong in any way to the world. Rather, Christ has chosen us out of the world. Even for the present, we must still live in the world. And while we live, may we be rooted in him, blossoming in the circumstances that God has stemmed us, so that we may grow there in a way that will be well-pleasing unto him. Let us pray.